CMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 12 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Those poor folks at Sean's Tavern in Washington, D.C., they all gathered around because they were expecting some free drinks yesterday in D.C. As Sean's Tavern advertised that they were going to give out a free round of drinks every time the president tweeted yesterday during the Comey testimony. However, that did not happen. He did not tweet at all. Let's see. In fact, the about an hour ago was his first tweet since June the 7th. That's a couple days ago. The last tweet before then was June 7th. He said, getting ready to leave for Cincinnati in the great state of Ohio to meet with Obamacare victims and talk health care and also infrastructure. Then his next tweet was 1 hour ago. And this is the first time we've heard from President Trump about the testimony of James Comey. He said, despite so many false statements and lies, total and complete vindication. And wow, Comey is a leaker. Yes, that's right. James Comey was the leaker. So those poor folks there at Sean's Tavern in Washington, D.C., I guess they walked around. They walked away thirsty yesterday because they didn't get any. I wonder what that was like trying to keep the president away from his phone yesterday. That had to be, they had to have a real tough, Rosie Greer kind of a guy to keep him away from his phone, I'm sure. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Looks like South Carolina's own Trey Gowdy is going to be heading the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. This is coming after Chairman Jason Chaffetz will be leaving Congress at the end of the month. The House Republican Steering Committee recommended that Trey Gowdy get the post yesterday. They picked him over Oklahoman Steve Russell. The full House Republican Conference is expected to confirm him next week. Of course, Gowdy is a former federal prosecutor, led that two-year inquiry into the attacks in Benghazi, an outspoken critic of the Obama administration. And as the new chairman, he's going to lead the oversight of the Trump administration, including an investigation of possible ties between Russia and President Donald Trump's campaign. So we will see what comes with that. But Trey Gowdy, of course, making his bones as a very, very important member of Congress. Also, Congressman Mark Sanford spoke out about the testimony from James Comey yesterday. We'll give you that story coming up in just a few minutes. So it was an interesting day yesterday, and I'm not sure what John McCain was asking yesterday. In fact, nobody was really sure. Here was that exchange.
I don't quite understand how you could be done with that, but not completely done with the whole investigation of their attempt to affect the outcome of our election.
No, I'm sorry. We're not, at least when I left, when I was fired on May the 9th, there was still an open, active investigation to understand the Russian efforts and whether any Americans work with them.
But you reached the conclusion that there was no reason to bring charges against Secretary Clinton. So you reached a conclusion. In the case of Mr. Comey, case of President Trump, you have an ongoing investigation.
So nobody really knew what McCain was talking about there. He was talking about the Russian investigation and then brought up the Clinton campaign and then called James Comey the president of the United States. I think it might be time for a nap, Mr. McCain.
1250 WTMA.
Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 7:20, 20 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Let's go to Hollywood and talk to Oren. Oren, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Charlie. Thanks for having me. Let me ask you a couple of questions. You're a pretty smart guy.
I like to think so.
Well, we all do. Let's say that the Russians did interfere with the election. Let's say that all of a sudden Putin just has a big press conference and says, you know what, you're right, guys. We interfered with the election.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Did one vote get changed? Did Did
no.
the voting machine get? What does it mean?
Well, what here's what they're trying to say. They're trying to say that Russia influenced the election.
You know how they did that, don't you? Told the truth. About
well, even if they didn't, tell the truth, let's just say, and like Hillary Clinton said the other night, that there was a bunch of people sitting around on computers over in Macedonia, and they were putting out all of this fake information about her and her campaign. Did that actually affect? Now what is it influencing an election? Every time you spend money and donate money to a campaign, you're trying to influence the election, aren't you?
Well, how about 15 operatives and the $13 million that Obama sent over to Israel
right.
to influence that election? I didn't hear any Democrats screaming about that.
No, that's trying to influence an election. What he did with Brexit by basically threatening England, saying they're going to have to go to the back of the line as far as negotiations are concerned if they leave the European Union, isn't that trying to influence an election?
Right. Well, I just want to know what it means. But I got one more question
yeah.
for you. I have a great deal of respect for Trey Gowdy. I mm-hmm. think Trey Gowdy's brilliant. I would love to see Trey Gowdy turn Senator Graham into ex-Senator Graham.
Right.
And I certainly don't want to be on the wrong end of him in a courtroom.
That's true.
Let me ask you about Mr. Gowdy.
Uh-huh.
He made Lois Lerner look stupid. He made Hillary Clinton look stupid. But
right.
did anything come of it?
No.
Anybody pay the price? Did
no.
anybody go to jail? Did anybody get fined? It was just a bunch of noise. So I would be a lot more impressed with Trey Gowdy if somebody walks out in an orange jumpsuit.
Yeah, I would too. Now, remember,
Trey Gowdy up there. What does that mean?
Well, but we'll see what it means. I mean, I certainly would. I would rather have him investigating than somebody like Jason Chaffetz or certainly any of the Democrats on the panel. I would much rather have him in charge of the oversight committee.
So he looks at it and investigates it. They say, you know what, Mr. James, you sure did a bad thing. Bam, let's go eat lunch now.
Yeah. Yeah,
I
know, and a lot of people were very disappointed that nothing more came out of the Benghazi investigation.
I tell you why nothing came out of that Benghazi investigation, because that thing went straight to the Oval Office.
Yeah, oh yeah, the department.
They
you know,
about to touch that.
No, not at all. They had to protect Hillary Clinton the entire time, and they had
and
to protect Obama the whole time. You're exactly right. Now, they lied to the American people about Benghazi. They said it was about, you know, a video, and we found out that that's not true. Then we found out that Hillary Clinton was sharing information with basically everybody but the American people about Benghazi when she said it was a terrorist attack. But nothing came of it. You're exactly right. Where was the media during all of this? They were trying to get the focus off of Hillary.
When the Attorney General of the United States tells the FBI director to change the nature of an investigation,
right.
isn't that called obstruction of justice?
Yes. But again, it doesn't matter who breaks the law. It's who is going to enforce it. And I certainly hope Trey Gowdy is one of those people that's going to be enforcing the law. Oren, I appreciate you calling in.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. 7:40, 20 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Are there going to be tapes of today's show? I hope there are tapes of today's show.
Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
Yeah, I do too, James Comey. I hope there are tapes. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. We have a system here in the United States of America, and the system goes like this. We elect people to represent us. And part of their job representing us is to make laws. And in exchange for that, we also agree that we, as society, will follow those laws. Until such time that we don't think the laws are just or fair, or that society has advanced to a point where the laws need to be changed, and then we have a way of going about changing those laws. Am I right? Everybody agreed on that? Okay, good. Civics 101 is over. So, what happens when we decide to break the law? To violate the law? To go outside of the law? Well, there are consequences, and society begins to break down. All right? That's, again, Civics 101. So, over in Mount Pleasant, there's a little burrito place called Moe's. And on the side of their building, they have a mural that is painted. This mural is of John Lennon. It is of Al Capone. And it is of Marilyn Monroe. John Lennon is a musician. Al Capone is an outlaw. Marilyn Monroe is an entertainer. M-O-E. It stands for Moe's. Okay. So this artist came out. They brought this world-famous artist in. And he paints this big mural on the side, what they're calling a mural, on the side of Moe's there in Mount Pleasant. Now, ordinances in Mount Pleasant, they only allow your signage to be so big, okay? Only be signage to be so big. But because it is a mural done by a world-famous artist, they're trying to get around this by saying it's art. It's public art. This is public art. Okay, fine, let's go with that. So that means if I own a McDonald's in Mount Pleasant, then I can call in a world-famous McArtist, and I can do a painting of a Big Mac, a large order of fries, and a, well, we'll say Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's. We can put those up. Would that be art? Would that be considered an art project? No. You and I both know that's an advertisement. That's a sign. So when Moe's, M-O-E, puts up a mural of a musician, an outlaw, and an entertainer, then you would think that we all know that that is a sign. That is, again, an advertisement. And because of the size of the mural, that it violates the city ordinance in Mount Pleasant about how big your signage can be. But there are still people that are all upset out there because they're going to be deciding on Tuesday in Mount Pleasant whether or not this mural can stay. I will guarantee you that this mural stays, all right? Because you don't want to be seen as meanies. You don't want to be seen as people who, oh, they're squelching art. It's art. Okay, fine. Okay. So let's say I've got an adult bookstore. What can I paint on the side of that? Oh, that's art. No, that's art. That busty young lady on the side of that building, that's an art project. Well, heck, that's just a, Caravaggio. That's all that is. That's one of those great, Renaissance painters. We're just copying that. We're just doing what they do. So can you stop McDonald's from putting a big mural on the side? Okay, so if you got a car shop, well, just get you a big old painting of a carburetor. How about that? We'll do that. No, but because it's John Lennon, and I'll guarantee you that's the whole thing.
Well, it's John Lennon. He was for peace and love and yada, yada, yada. He was in the Beatles.
Then all of a sudden, that's art. No, it's a sign. We all know it's a sign. Quit pretending like it's not a sign. Quit pretending like it's not an advertisement. We all know what it is. But because it's art and it's fairly well done, then all of a sudden, everybody's got an issue with it. No, I'm sorry. And again, that's where society breaks down. When some people say, you know what, we're going out of the law on this thing. And this, in Mount Pleasant, that's not the first time they've tried this. This is a thing. This is a thing that they've got. It's a deal that Moe's does. And they've done it in several locations. They try to get around these city ordinances by painting these murals on the side of their buildings. And it's art. And I'll guarantee you it stays.
WTMA! It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It is 7:55, 5 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Don't forget, coming up in just a little bit, we're going to be giving away those tickets to go see the River Dogs play. Any 2017 home game at the Joe will be yours, and we'll be doing that in just a little bit. Again, 556-1250 is the number. Also coming up, we're going to be talking about solar panels and SCENG. You can be able to take advantage of some of the electricity that is generated by those solar panels without having to have them on your house. And that's a big thing because a lot of people are like, I don't want a solar panel on my house. However, Elon Musk, this is kind of a cool thing, and I think it's personal solar panels, I think, are good. I mean, I think, you know, you can reduce your electricity. Everybody wants to have some sort of a, you know, you get tired of paying those $300 electric bills. So if you can knock a little bit of that off by putting inexpensive solar panels on your house, that's one thing. But they're not exactly all that attractive, and a lot of homeowners associations don't allow them. But Elon Musk is actually trying to develop roof tiles that generate solar energy. That'll be pretty interesting. I think right now they're expecting them. They're only going to last about 10 years. And what's the average lifespan of a roof? I'm not real sure how long a roof is supposed to last, but they say these tiles last about 10 years. All right, Charleston County School District is announcing the retirement of Chief Financial Officer Glenn Stegman. That happened yesterday. He's been on medical leave since May the 30th. They said today he announced his retirement due to personal health issues, that according to the district. Of course, longtime school financial official in the upstate, came to Charleston County as interim back in 2015, after they discovered that $18 million budget shortfall. He encouraged the district to implement a temporary hiring freeze and help shape the subsequent budgets that cut cost, in part by increasing classroom sizes and trimming the staff there at the office. The school board has passed a $480.6 million operating budget for 2017 and 18. That includes a $39.1 million revenue increase, thanks in part to a pre-existing tax increment financing district, and the board approved 2.5% increase on vehicles and commercial properties. So Mr. Stegman is stepping down for medical decisions. Now, school board member Kevin Hollingshed said that the school district didn't tell the board that the CFO was out on medical leave and that he only heard about it through the grapevine. He goes on to say, "My question is, why did they take so long to tell us he was out on medical leave?" This seems to be a recurring problem with the folks at Charleston County School District. They have got to have a lot more. I mean, this is, if he's out on medical leave, tell everybody. I don't see why that should have. I don't know if it was kept secret or if he asked for people not to, you know, don't say anything, but I gotta step down. But still, you're a public official. You need to be, that needs to be transparent, and people certainly need to know about that. So they do have a bit of a transparency problem over there at the Charleston County School District that they're really going to have to get a handle on. In fact, Jarita Postlewaite said that she failed. She gave herself a failing grade on being transparent with folks. So we'll have to see what they do. They're going to have to step that up.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Today I'm going to give you an idea of what color outfit you should wear into a job interview.
Wait till they get a load of me.
Welcome to Mouse Bat Follicle Goose Creature Ampersand Spong Wap Caplet Loose Liver Vendetta and Prang.
You're the biological father of 533 children.
What? It's Friday.
Friday!
Friday.
Friday. Friday.
Good Friday morning to you.
If you don't get to work soon, they'll replace you with someone more punctual.
You guys suck.
No, wait a minute.
No, I mean that as a compliment.
What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
What do you want to do with your life?
I don't know.
It's showtime.
It's Friday. It's 13 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Of course, everybody talking about the James Comey testimony yesterday. We'll get right back into that coming up in just a second. But this morning, the National Action Network is going to hold a news conference about racial issues at Charleston Southern. Looks like that's going to be happening this morning. They're going to be getting together with a family of a Charleston Southern student to talk about racial issues at Charleston Southern. That's going to be happening at 11 o'clock this morning there at University Boulevard in North Charleston. I wonder if Elder Johnson is going to be there.
We're not going to allow foreigners coming in this country treating people like this.
In the 10-mile radius, we have 34 Arabs or foresters within our community.
Yeah, and I think they've got some racial issues to talk about with the National Action Network and as far as Elder Johnson, who made those statements a couple of weeks ago. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Chris Matthews, I thought this was funny. Headline, Chris Matthews, Trump-Russia collusion theory came apart with Comey testimony. Theory. Yeah, use the word theory. Well, I'm Chris Matthews, I thought it was a fact. I mean, you've been reporting all along that this was a fact, that the Trump administration had colluded with the Russians. It was set in stone. It was absolute. It was like, you know, it was like gravity or buoyancy or the speed of light. It was an actual fact. You knew this was happening. This was science, according to Chris Matthews. But Chris Matthews now calling it a theory. Well, it's only been a theory. I wonder if he had a tingle up his leg yesterday when James Comey was giving his testimony. I wonder if he had a tingly leg yesterday. All right, what else? Let's play a little bit of the testimony yesterday. Comey said there should be no fuzz that the Russians interfered in our election.
There should be no fuzz on this whatsoever. The Russians interfered in our election during the 2016 cycle. They did it with purpose. They did it with sophistication. They did it with overwhelming technical efforts. And it was an active measures campaign driven from the top of that government. There is no fuzz on that. It is a high confidence judgment of the entire intelligence community. And the members of this committee have seen the intelligence. It's not a close call. That happened. That's about as unfake as you can possibly get and is very, very serious, which is why it's so refreshing to see a bipartisan focus on that, because this is about America, not about any particular party.
Okay, so if the Russians were able to interfere in our election, if they were, and that still has not been proven, but still we've got to define the word interfere and influence, where was the FBI? Where was the CIA? Where was the NSA? Why weren't they able to stop it? I mean, we're supposed to have the greatest computer minds in all the world, right? So if the Russians were able to influence our election, and what does it mean to influence an election? That's what I want to know. Like we said before, every time you make a donation to a campaign, you're trying to influence an election, right? When President Obama sends people over to Israel to make sure that Netanyahu doesn't win re-election, that's trying to influence an election, right? When he tells the people over in Great Britain that if they back out of the European Union, they got to go to the back of the line as far as negotiations are concerned, that's trying to influence an election, right? But why? I mean, is it because we see ourselves as the good guys, the knights in shining armor of the world, that we are not guilty of trying to influence elections? Is that what it is? So I want to know how. I want to know how they did it. And if they did it, how were they able to do it? And when we're supposed to have the greatest security minds in all the world, in all the world. So after the testimony yesterday, James Comey went to the farmer's market and had a peach. What'd you think about your peach?
There should be no fuzz on this whatsoever.
Oh, I see. You don't like the fuzzy peaches. All right. Well, there you go.
WTMA. Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 8:23, 23 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Let's head out to James Island and talk to Billy this morning. Billy, how are you?
Oh, wonderful. I was telling him I just want to bring us back to reality.
Yeah.
Reality Lee winner.
Right, that's right. Good one. Good one.
Oh, yes, sir. She worked for a company called Pluribus International.
Right.
Try Googling that this morning. You won't get there. They have shut them down cold. There's ways around it, but very interesting. And it's not so much what she's done or the way that things are going, but the lid that she blew off and the damage control that they're having to do.
Right.
They don't even want to release where where she was at the time that she did this stuff.
Yeah.
I can speculate, based on open source intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Ballpark there. I would assume and speculate Fort Gordon.
Right. But, well, that's where she was when she was arrested.
Right. So, and anyway, the big story there is how fast Uncle Sam can shut those things down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they wasted no time whatsoever because she sent this to, what was the website, Intellis or something like that? And and they published this thing. Now, unfortunately, they published the color version of this document. And we all know that now we know that every color document that you print out has a little code on it that you might not be able to see. But it tells you what computer it was, the date and the time that the document was printed out. And they were able to find her fairly quickly, weren't they?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And like I say, the big news is just how basically the information funnel, I mean, just everything got turned off very quickly.
Yeah. Well, they got to do damage control there at that company. Billy, I appreciate you calling in. Now, she is not out on bond. The judge said, nope, not going to do it because you might have more documents that you're looking at leaking, and it's a matter of national security. Now, she was she wrote down in a notebook, she had a handwritten notebook that she said, I want to burn the White House down. Who else said something like that? Wasn't it Madonna that said that she had dreams of blowing up the White House? Don't we remember that during that Women's March where they were all out there, they were in their pea hats, and they were, for some reason, trying to boycott President Trump. It was a big way to show out because their candidate didn't win, trying to brand him as a misogynist and all of this stuff. So she said, I want to burn the White House down to find somewhere in Kurdistan to live. She also had made references that if there were a war, then she would not side with the United States. She's a former, like I said, Air Force linguist. She speaks Arabic and Farsi. She had a top secret security clearance. How does that work? She was working as a government contractor in Augusta when she copied an emailed a classified report containing top secret material to an online news organization. I think it was called The Intercept. Authorities haven't described the report or named the news outlet, but we think we know who they are. The Intercept reported it had obtained a classified National Security Agency report suggesting Russian hackers attacked a U.S. voting software supplier before last year's presidential election. The NSA report was dated May 5th, the same as the document Winner is charged with leaking. So, U.S. Magistrate Judge Brian Epps said that she might have more stolen documents and is not going to release her there. Mm. Now, Solari said that her laptop, look at this. Her laptop also contained software that could enable her to access online black markets and buy items such as fake passports, fake IDs, without revealing her identity or her location. So this woman was really, really trying to be a mole in the government. She was working hard at it. She was working pretty hard at it. And there you go. That's what we got. That's what we got on the great reality Winner. Winner? I don't think so.
839 at the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. As we continue with the Charlie James Show, once again, the man, the legend, the voice. It's Charlie James.
Why, thank you, sir. It's 839, 21 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Now, Charles Krauthammer said it was not a good day for James Comey or President Trump yesterday. He explained that Comey stopped short of alleging Trump committed obstruction of justice in the FBI's Russia probe. What does that mean to stop short of? So if I'm going to rob a bank, all right, and I got new plans, I think I'm going to rob a bank today. So I get my ski mask, you know, and I get my note. It's all written out there. I got my note written out, and I'm headed to the bank. And just before I get to the bank, I say, yeah, you know what? I don't think I'm going to rob this bank today. And I go home. Do I stop just short of robbing a bank? Do I do that, or do I not rob a bank? Okay, I don't rob a bank, right? We all agree on that. Even if I had intentions of robbing a bank, I did not actually rob the bank. Now, intention is apparently a big, big thing with James Comey, because remember, he didn't prosecute or recommend for prosecution, which is not the FBI's job, Hillary Clinton, because he didn't think there was any criminal intent there. So intention's a big deal with James Comey, apparently, right? So Krauthammer goes on to say that he accused the Trump administration of defaming Comey and said comments made about his competency were lies, plain and simple. Now, these were statements that we all had heard, that there were certain members of the FBI that were very upset with James Comey because he did not go after Hillary Clinton harder. Because of all of this work that the FBI agents had done, and she wasn't going to be prosecuted, even though she violated the law, even though she had top secret documents on her server. Well, there's no intent with that, so not going to do that. So if you park in an illegal parking space, but you don't know this happened to me at Folly Beach. It was the first time out at Folly Beach ever. This was years ago, six and a half years ago. I come here and I go out to Folly Beach and I park in one of the little parking areas there, you know, pull up there, and I pulled in the wrong way. Doggone, I didn't mean to. I didn't know about it. But guess what? I still got a ticket. I still had to pay that ticket. There was no criminal intent, but my actions violated the laws of Folly Beach. But still, you get a ticket, right? Yeah, we all do. But I guess Hillary Clinton doesn't get a ticket for what she did. So, did James Comey yesterday lie to the American people and to Congress? Well, he testified that, by the way, when was the last time we heard of an FBI director leaking information to a buddy so that that buddy could leak information to the media? He testified that he only leaked that memo in response to a tweet from President Trump. So he sees this tweet by President Trump and he goes to sleep and he wakes up in the middle of the night and he goes, oh my gosh, I got to do something about this. Oh, I got to do something about this. Let me send this over to my buddy at the at Columbia University. He'll leak this for me. I'll do that. Well, that sounds like a good FBI director, doesn't it? That sounds like somebody who is all about law and order, right? So now we are seeing that the New York Times was quoting from these memos the day before the tweet. So Comey says he sent out this memo to his buddy at Columbia University in response to a tweet, when now we're finding out that the New York Times was quoting from this memo the day before the tweet. So which one is it, Mr. Comey? Which one is it? His excuse for this doesn't... No. He said it was retaliatory, but it doesn't seem to be. Doesn't seem to be. Let's go to Keith in Hanahan. Keith, how are you?
Hey, Charlie.
What's up?
I got home from work yesterday and just happened to flip on some fake news. PBS, actually.
Right.
And, just in time to catch John McCain's line of questioning.
Did you follow John McCain's line of questioning? Did you understand what he was getting at?
Well, if nobody gets anything else out of any of this whole hearing with Comey, they ought to get one thing.
And what was that?
That John McCain needs to be put in a home somewhere.
John McCain. Yeah, it was pretty obvious yesterday. Keith, I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you. Here was the line of questioning that that Senator McCain had with James Comey.
I don't quite understand how you could be done with that, but not completely done with the whole investigation of their attempt to affect the outcome of our election.
No, I'm sorry. We're not, at least when I left, when I was fired on May the 9th, there was still an open, active investigation to understand the Russian efforts and whether any Americans work with them.
But you reached the conclusion that there was no reason to bring charges against Secretary Clinton. So you reached a conclusion. In the case of Mr. Comey, case of President Trump, you have an ongoing investigation.
I don't know either. Maybe they were. Maybe Comey and McCain were rehearsing for some comedy act or something.
Senator McCain,
you're going to have to help me out here.
I'm not. I'm a little confused, Senator.
Yeah. So, but there'd be no. I don't quite understand. Complete done.
No, I'm sorry. We're not.
In the case of Mr. Comey,
please shut his mic off. Please shut off John McCain's mic. Oh, that was embarrassing.
WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 8 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com, Friday, TGIF. Let's go to Stephanie and Ladson. Stephanie, what did you think about John McCain yesterday?
Well, bless his heart. You know, at least he didn't think
there it is.
Was our president.
The ubiquitous bless his heart. Yes, ma'am. That's
you
right.
Know, he just went around it, and he must make new friends every day.
He's got to. Have we met before? I don't think you don't look familiar.
I understood everything that he was saying. He just went around it in a hard way.
Oh, man.
But, you know, he just, he tried. I think he's 103 now, isn't he?
He's got to be somewhere around there, yeah. He actually tweeted out that that's what happens when you stay up too late watching an Arizona Diamondbacks game. So it was.
Still have a hangover.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So interesting line of questioning from the good senator yesterday. But all in all, what'd you think about the Comey testimony yesterday?
He's a liar.
Yeah.
He's a liar, and he's trying to clear himself. And you know, he was stopping a lot because I think, especially when McCain was answering him, wanting to know why Hillary was cleared of these accusations, because if she would have been elected president, we wouldn't even be having this discussion.
You are exactly right. We would not. There would be no Russia trying to hack into the election. There would be
no collusion.
None of that would have happened. It would have just been, you know, birds would be singing. There would be rainbows in the sky because Hillary Clinton is president of the United States.
We'd all be making new friends.
Yeah, that's right. Just like John McCain. That's right.
Yeah.
Stephanie, I appreciate you calling in. So what was James Comey doing yesterday? Well, I think he's doing a little CYA, covering his you-know-what yesterday. Why? Well, because when the FBI director loses his job, he loses a lot. He loses a six-figure salary. I'm talking about $172,000, $172,100 a year. That's the FBI director's salary. However, guess what? There's no severance. When you're done, you are done. Thank you very much. Here's your final check. Have a nice day. So now he lives in a really nice house. I think he lives in Arlington, Virginia, which is close to D.C. It's outside D.C. because real estate in D.C. is kind of like it is here in Charleston. It's outrageous. So he lives over in Arlington, which is also very pricey. Lives in a nice big home there in Arlington and makes $172,100 a year. But unlike federal employees, Comey doesn't have severance packages. The FBI director does not get a severance package. So whatever you have when you leave the FBI, well, that's what you got. Congratulations. Now, how is he going to secure his future? Well, he's going to have to go out and give speaking gigs, right? He's going to have to talk before, you know, all of these big groups all over the world as a former FBI director. And he will command a pretty good speaking fee. You can certainly imagine that. Unless his reputation is tainted. If his reputation is tainted, then nobody's going to want this guy to come speak to him. Why would you? I mean, I wonder, how many speaking gigs did Richard Nixon get when he left office? So he was trying to cover his rear end yesterday and make sure everything was in place for his future. Now, how that is going to work out, I don't know. I don't know, because we are seeing now that he said that he sent that. And what a friend. If I had a friend, you know, and I'm sitting there and I get an email, bing, and I go, oh, hey, it's my buddy James Comey. Look at that. And James wants me to leak a document to the media? Yeah, I don't. You know what? Hey, would love to, James, but I'm out of town right now. I can't do it. So he wanted to bring his friend in and get his friend caught up in all of this mess. That's not a very good friend, James Comey. So this professor out there at the Columbia University, he's the one that leaked it. And James Comey said he did it out of retaliation for a tweet. But now we're finding out that the New York Times was actually quoting this memo before that tweet. So where is the lie? And all of these people that are out there saying, James Comey stopped short of saying that that President Trump tried to obstruct justice. He stopped short. Well, take that in context with another round of testimony that he had a few weeks ago, where he said during his tenure as FBI director, no one had ever tried to get him to shut down an investigation. And that would include President Donald J. Trump. But see, the media has short memories on these things, and they can't go back and check their tapes on that, because, well, they can't even Google it. They can't even Google it. So the media, folks like Keith Olbermann, who is just a vile human being, he is so, I don't know, he's just, I think Keith Olbermann is mad that he didn't think of the Kathy Griffin thing before Kathy Griffin did. I think he's a little upset about that. He wanted to be the guy holding up the president's amputated or decapitated head. He wanted to be the one to do that. And doggone it, Kathy Griffin beat me to it. So, Jimmy Fallon talked about it last night.
This is pretty interesting here. Comey said that he kept memos of his meetings with Trump because he felt that the president may lie about them. Even Trump was like, yeah, that sounds like me. Good thinking. That's good thinking on your part. Turns out that when Trump asked Comey to dinner a few months back, it actually conflicted with some other plans that Comey's made. Take a look at this.
He called me at my desk at lunchtime and asked me, was I free for dinner that night? And then he said, how about 6:30? And I said, whatever works for you, sir. And then I hung up and had to call my wife and break a date with her. I was supposed to take her out to dinner that night.
Comey tried to take his wife out the next night, and she said, actually, Trump just asked me to dinner. So, I mean, he's screwing up the whole week! Comey also talked about rumors that his conversations with Trump were recorded and said, quote, Lordy, I hope there are tapes. When Comey said Lordy, Mike Pence was like, language! Watch it! Earmuffs.
So, this is the same James Comey that asked Jeff Sessions not to leave him alone with the president. Don't leave me alone. Don't leave me alone. I'm telling you, don't leave me alone with that guy. But yet he goes to dinner with him? How many inconsistencies do we get to see with James Comey? And this was the guy that everybody was touting. He's the number one law enforcement. Oh, he's a pillar of strength. Oh, he's his reputation is beyond repute. He is, yeah, come on. Come on now. Would the real James Comey please stand up? Because we would certainly like to meet him.